Alongside Joe Giglio, I'm Joe Diaz. Tar Heels back in action tonight against Virginia Tech. Maybe they can shake the last two performances where they got beat by more than 20 points at Miami, then at Wake Forest on Saturday. The OT discourse is hot. And Grayson Allen's at it again. Let's log on to the internet, shall we? It's brought to you by Geico, where you got a choice of ways that you could save on car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online to geico.com or stop by the Geico office nearest you. Let's get it.
Number five.
You okay?
I'm going to try to find the right words for this. I'm going to try to stay composed. The NBA has suspended Milwaukee Bucks guard Grayson Allen for one game for his flagrant 2 foul on Chicago Bulls guard Alex Caruso.
Oh, an indefinite suspension.
Friday night's game, Caruso's going up on a breakaway. Allen comes to defend, goes up with his left hand. Fine. Comes across with his right hand. That was not a basketball play. Throws Caruso to the floor. Caruso's now going to miss 6 to 8 weeks with a broken wrist. Here's the call on ESPN. They didn't get that worked up over it. I'm going to give you a scenario, though, Joe, that that I think the NBA is sending the wrong message here.
Okay.
Well, you saw the foul with the left hand. The right hand after was the unnecessary part of it, right? I mean, it's a hard foul there, but then the windup and the swing with the right hand after, you got to think that's going to be a flagrant. The question is it a 1 or a 2?
It's a hard foul.
But what was the reason for the second one?
The initial contact was the fall's unfortunate. The initial contact was a guy trying to block a shot. You're right about the right arm. When I watched it initially,
the fall's not unfortunate. The fall was caused by Grayson Allen throwing the player, an airborne player, to the ground.
Yeah.
Now, let's sub out Alex Caruso. Let's sub in Kevin Durant. Let's sub in Steph Curry. Let's sub in one of the biggest names in the NBA. Is Grayson Allen getting a one-game suspension from maliciously hitting someone who's airborne and defenseless?
No.
We've seen the NFL sideline players for the rest of the season for this type of malicious intent and act to harm another player.
It's who he did it to, not the action itself, which falls in line with a consistent. It's a consistency.
And isn't that the problem, though?
Yeah.
If you're gonna, they're sending the wrong message. The NBA has a chance to do what Duke, quite frankly, should have done 4 years ago now, and that is for someone to discipline Grayson Allen. You're a dirty player. You're a coddled player. You've had everything handed to you your whole life. And finally, nobody wants to stand up and tell this kid, you're an idiot. And you're endangering the people that you're supposed to have a code and play against.
And
it's embarrassing. It's totally and completely embarrassing.
The team even released a statement.
The Bucks! Mike Budenholzer, are you kidding?
Come on, man.
Competition is tough, and there's things that happen in the games that are unfortunate.
I know that
Caruso is going to miss some time, and I feel for him. I don't want for any of our opponents, for anybody, but there was nothing that was done intentional. Watch the play, man. If somebody hit Giannis Antetokounmpo that way, honestly, we have this great power here in the triangle. The second somebody leaves us, we they're dead to us, basically. It's what we do. It really is. But Grayson Allen was here. If you don't remember, he kicked a kid from Elon. And Duke suspended him indefinitely at the time. It was the big joke. And he ended up missing one game. Grayson Allen was the star of that team. Fine. Maybe. Fine. Mike Krzyzewski had the ability to suspend him for longer. Did not. Chose not to discipline him, basically. Chose not to teach him a lesson. And guess what? Here he is out here tripping people still and hitting people and committing fouls. And he did at Duke, by the way. He continued to do so at Duke. There was never any further discipline. He's a dirty basketball player. And I get it. Budenholzer's saying, great. Here's the rest of his quote. Grayson's been nothing but great for us. The way the guys feel about him, that's how you know the most, is how the locker room feels about you. Yeah, I mean, he's not going in there and hammering Giannis on a breakaway in practice.
Yeah, come on now.
Come on. That's bad.
Neck though.
Number four.
So the Carolina Hurricanes going into the weekend were out there making statements. And the Saturday came around and a statement was made to them by the New Jersey Devils. Uncharacteristically loose defense by the Carolina Hurricanes combined with Jack LaMotta not exactly being ready for prime time resulted in a pretty deflating loss for the Carolina Hurricanes. Rod Brindamore, the head coach of the Hurricanes, after this one, look, say, Rod keeps it straight every single time.
I think their goals are real goals. I mean, you know, we gave up 40 shots. It's not going to win the game. So I hate that that's how that went, but for him. But, you know, we'll get a plan for him. I mean, that's, you know, it's part of him, but the group in front of him wasn't good enough.
It's a tough situation for the Canes because they don't really we still don't know what's going on with Antti Raanta, who was not able to play in this game. It's a back-to-back game.
He wasn't, but Raanta was back at practice today, and LaFontaine, at least the report that I saw, LaFontaine was dropped back to the taxi squad.
No, he was assigned to Chicago, to the AHL. So, but it's okay. It's an interesting situation that the Canes find themselves in, right? In the offseason, you go and you get Raanta and you get Freddie Anderson, you think, and basically Rod has been a two-goalie kind of guy. That's basically what the NHL is now because of compact schedules and everything else. We haven't seen a whole lot of Raanta this year, and part of that has been injuries. Had a concussion. We all know how fickle concussions can be and being able to come back from them, okay? The problem is the Canes are now in a situation where they don't really have a pro-level backup. So they went and they signed Jack LaFontaine from Minnesota. His second Big Ten stop. And basically, the only way you get a kid or a college, he's 24 years old, the only way to get him to leave the middle of his outstanding college season was to basically say, we're going to sign you and put in the NHL. Yep. They did. He played twice, and he wasn't good in either game. I know what Rod's saying. No. I don't have a problem with Rod calling out his own defense. But
because he's right. It wasn't like they played a clean defensive game in front of him.
Yeah,
so, anyway.
But you also have to make some stops. I mean,
no, I'm with
Columbus
you on that.
Columbus relief was not good, and then this as the full game was not good. And that's fine. No. He can go now to the minors and get him some legitimate reps, and you could see if he can help you by the end of the year. Obviously, the Canes are hoping that Antti Raanta is the one who could be healthy and help Fred Anderson, but I suspect we're going to get to the playoffs, and we're going to see a whole lot of Fred Anderson. So the issue there, of course, though, is, Joe, as everything gets rescheduled now, the games are going to start getting stacked on top of each other, as we've seen in the previous 2 years. And you really do need that legitimate second goalie, which the Hurricanes thought perhaps they may have stolen one in LaFontaine, a player they drafted. Again, it was in college.
Yeah.
And they were going to lose basically his rights if they weren't able to bring him up. So it's a gambit that was worth the effort. But obviously, it looks like now won't work out for the Hurricanes. Down they're back to counting on Raanta to come back and be healthy and be able to contribute. Ultimately, it comes down to Freddie Anderson and how far he'll take them in the playoffs.
One other thing, too, as you know, the moves that the Carolina Hurricanes made this offseason to put them in a position to go further in the playoffs, a lot of that was related to goaltending. Got it. But there also were some shrewd moves in terms of what they were going to do with their money. And they played the Devils. Dougie Hamilton is with the Devils. Dougie Hamilton's getting paid $9 million. They weren't going to give Dougie Hamilton $9 million. Instead, they found a market inefficiency in Tony DeAngelo, who I know is not the same exact player, but for the purposes of this conversation, we are looking at him as a replacement for Dougie Hamilton for $8 million less. So far, it has been good for the Carolina Hurricanes. They were absolutely right that they could get a level of production out of Tony DeAngelo for $8 million less in the regular season compared to what Dougie Hamilton, who's an excellent player. I'm not trying to say he's not an excellent player. And I'm not trying to act like Tony DeAngelo is a one-for-one. I'm simply saying we're looking at, are you putting up similar production? And the answer to that is yes. Unequivocally, yes, it has worked out for the Carolina Hurricanes on a replacement level. It should be left at that, but I've found it curious the last couple of days where I feel like the Carolina Hurricanes, again, this is just how it's presented to me, all right? I feel like the Carolina Hurricanes are trying to completely retcon the Tony DeAngelo story arc to be like, no, he's always been a good guy, he's this and that, and for whatever reason, it started, I think, what was it, Friday night or whatever it was, when he had an excellent game and he was the first star of the night. And Tripp Tracy, look, we all know we got professional love for Tripp Tracy. I felt was laying it on thick Friday for the crowd to get a Tony D'Angelo chant started and how great he is and everything else. And that was followed up with an inside a Hurricane with Abby LaBar, where they featured Tony D'Angelo. And you know, what do you like off the ice that people don't know? The usual puff piece stuff that comes with an image rehab associated with a player. Here's the thing for the Carolina Hurricanes and a bit of advice. The people have already made up their mind as it relates to Tony D'Angelo based on the things that were known about Tony D'Angelo before they signed him. You're not going to change those opinions. The only thing that matters comes down to what you ultimately thought that mattered: winning hockey games and taking advantage of a market inefficiency. If you leave it at that, ain't nobody gonna have a problem, because we know what this is about. It's a business, all right? It's a business. And you made the decision, and it has worked for you. The Canes were absolutely right in their calculations versus Dougie Hamilton and Tony D'Angelo in the regular season. Stop there. Just stop there. Because anything after that basically is laying it on thick, and nobody's buying it. Nobody's buying it. Next up.
Number three.
I almost feel like we should shift and adjust to today in Urban Meyer, but maybe we can talk about that in a little bit.
No, we actually, we'll have a little bit of time for that in hot and cold of the weekend.
Okay, perfect.
Urban Meyer. But anyway.
North Carolina takes back to the court tonight, takes on Virginia Tech. Tar Heels are coming off back-to-back losses in a week that I was calling a show-me week. They went to Miami, lose 85-57. Then they go to Wake Forest on Saturday, end up losing 98-76 in a just atrocious defensive performance by the Tar Heels. Hubert Davis was not pleased with his team after Saturday's effort. Actually, Joe, did you hear him say that Wake Forest just had better players?
Yes. I thought that was an interesting pivot for Hubert Davis, given that going into the game, he talked about Armando Bacot, ACC Player of the Year, no
right.
question. The end. Talking Mickey about
Black
his guard
defensive
play, these guys
of
are some
year.
Of the best. Right, defensive player of the year. His guards were some of the best guards in the ACC. He has basically loved them up, right?
Right, which makes sense.
See if that would work. Love them up. Makes total sense. I'm not knocking Hubert Davis. I'm simply telling y'all what's going on. He's loving them up. Sometimes that's what you got to do. But loving them up has not worked. So I commend Hubert Davis for dropping the love them up routine and simply stating what we all recognize. This roster is not as good as we thought it could be. They're just not. And Wake Forest is better as a roster. Now, that doesn't mean just because they've got a better roster than you that you can just go out there and lose the game. You have to execute. You have to try. You have to like look like you give a damn. And that's the biggest problem going on right now with North Carolina, where they continue to get punched in the mouth and they don't react well. Contrast that. And again, I'm not trying to act as though NC State's this, you know, tournament team either. They're not. But the one thing I can definitely tell you every time I watch NC State, okay, that team's going to freaking try. That team's going to freaking play hard every single game. They might not win them all. They might go through 10-minute stretches where nothing goes right. But they're going to be in it. They're going to give a damn. And they don't let things get to them. And that continues to be a problem for this Tar Heel team. They can't seem to get out of this spiral. The good news for the Tar Heels, though, Julio, is that their next four games, including a matchup against NC State on Saturday, are games in which they can win, because statistically, roster-wise, they are better. And that's what they've done so far. They've held serve against those teams below them. But again, that's just kind of who they are, and that doesn't get you into the NCAA tournament.
I was going to say, this is where you and I have historically disagreed about the value of wins, because these next games don't matter. Those last two games matter because they're quadrant one games. Carolina's now 0-6 in Q1 games. If you don't know what quadrants are, they're the most important part of the net criteria. This is what the committee looks at. They look at what are your best wins. Carolina doesn't have one right now. They have four potential Q1 games left, Joe. They have two against Duke. Do you see them beating the Blue Devils in either one of those games?
No.
I don't.
Especially not the way that the Blue Devils are playing, like the Carolina
getting
Hurricanes,
better,
right?
Getting better.
They're getting better.
They go to Virginia Tech. Not this Virginia Tech game at home is not a Q1 game. The one where they go to Virginia Tech February 19th, and then potentially Clemson's at 76 right now in the net. They go to Clemson on February 8th. Worth noting that KenPom doesn't have them winning any of those four games.
Yeah.
So Carolina's in a position right now where they you have to hope against hope that you could magically make something better in the middle of the ship going down, even the stream. Never mind, it's going down. It's just downstream. Yeah. You're trying to turn that thing around, and I got news for you. It's really difficult to turn that thing around.
The other triangle teams, I mentioned NC State. They got a nice win against Virginia, but again, that's a very much an NC State type, the NC State of this season type of game. They didn't miss. They do that from time to time.
I was say, it was kind of it a classic Les Robinson type of win. Like, I mean, oh, hey, if we make 12 3-pointers, we're going
to
win.
Hey, oh, you're good to go, right? Okay, so, I mean, look, yeah, that's NC State right now.
And Duke McCuller, Mark Davis.
Duke without Corey Trevor Phelps. Keels, and it doesn't look like they're going to get Trevor Keels for tomorrow against Clemson either. Methodically picked apart Syracuse. I thought Saturday's game was more about Syracuse and how far things have dropped for the Orange under Jim Boeheim than it said about Duke and where they're at right now. But shout out to Mike Krzyzewski, who busted out hockey assists in talking about how they picked apart that zone.
For a few minutes there in the second half, I thought it was the best we've played because we coupled really good defense with some outstanding offense. It looked like the Hurricanes playing. There are a lot of hockey assists.
It's very
Coach K, huge Kaniac.
It's very freeing that we talked to Jim Boeheim before the season started, and he told us that nobody cares what we think, and we don't know anything about basketball. No. So it's very freeing for me to say this. Joe Girard's not a good basketball player.
Nope.
Sorry.
And that was a choice,
sorry,
by the way. That was a choice.
Yes, Seton Hall starting Kadari Richmond right now. That's Kadari who should Richmond, be starting for Syracuse.
Yes,
right,
Kadari Richmond was the guy that Joe was, yeah. It's, yeah, not great. But we don't know anything about basketball, mm-mm, so it's all good.
Couldn't figure it out.
Next up.
Number two.
So Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady are done. You could say that Aaron Rodgers has been immunized from the NFL playoffs. So we have that in common. Both had COVID. Both immunized. Both not going to the Super Bowl. So Aaron Rodgers and I, and who knows, frequent podcast enthusiast Aaron Rodgers. So we have a lot of things in common.
He could be starting his own live podcast.
He could, because that's the thing. We don't know what Aaron Rodgers is going to do next. And he was obligatory, asked about his future after they lost to the 49ers.
I mean, I did not think we'd be talking about this after this game, but
right.
You know, I'm going to take some time and have conversations with the folks around here and then take some time away and make a decision, obviously before free agency or anything kind of gets going on that front. But, you know, it's fresh right now. It's you know, a little shocking for sure. Definitely haven't, you know, was hoping to have, you know, nice week after the NFC Championship to enjoy the lead up and then start contemplating some things. So I haven't even let the moment really sink in yet.
I don't believe Aaron Rodgers. He's been contemplating these things since last season and all throughout the offseason and all throughout this year. He's contemplating his next move because he wants you to understand and know that he's a critical thinker. He's a free thinker. He is like Dr. Manhattan in The Watchmen. Here is a man who is simply tired of the earth and its people who just don't understand his genius. So I can envision a scenario where Aaron Rodgers doesn't play football for this because he wants to go and prove just how smart he is by doing other things. I can totally see that happening.
Packers, by the way, now with Rodgers and then as the number one seed, they're 1-3.
Unreal.
That's
unreal.
Bad.
There's a separate conversation to be had about where exactly Aaron Rodgers now sits in that tier of elite QBs that we've seen out of this generation. I know it's going to come off as a hot take, but it drops. I'm sorry, but it drops. At some point, if you keep being labeled as the baddest man in the NFL who has the best arm talent, you're going to have to follow that up with actual production more often than not in the postseason, unlike Tom Brady, right? Who actually does this. And he almost got us. Tom Brady almost got us again because of incredible football luck with all those fumbles, but they lose. And now the question about Tom Brady lingers as to what he's going to do next.
I haven't put a lot of thought into it, so you know, we'll just take it day by day and see, kind of see where we're at.
Did you at least take a moment as you came off the field or at any time today to think about that, to think that this might be the last time I'm out here?
No, I was thinking about winning. That's kind of my mentality always, to go out there and try to win, give my team the best chance to win.
What's the biggest factor for you, Tom? What would be the biggest factor for you in making that decision going forward?
Truthfully, guys, I'm thinking about this game and not thinking about anything past 5 minutes from now.
Really does sound like gold there asking that question. Now, unlike Rodgers, who wants this big, you know, life philosophy type, you know, future, Brady has always made his intentions abundantly clear. He wants to be the oldest guy to do this at that position. He's already the oldest to have won a Super Bowl, and now he wants to be the oldest to start. So I can envision him coming back. The question, though, with Julio, is just how good can the Buccaneers be next year?
Well, they're the template, right, for the Rams. We just cashed all their future assets in to go for it in the now. And with the injuries and everything else, it's probably not going to work. But that's why the GM is paid to make it work. We'll see. I don't think Brady's retiring. I thought it was odd that it was coming out before the game, that this was in play. I almost want to text Mike Lennon and just be like, Tom Brady had to play one game like you do with no offensive line, and he's ready to retire. Imagine if he's had to switch spots with you in your career, but we'll see.